And now,
you are listening live.
Handoff, Kennedy McCoy cuts it back inside. He's at five, heading to the end zone. He's in, touchdown! Drops, throws, has a man. Ball caught Jennings. Gary Jennings breaks the tackle. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Gary Jennings! And it is a great night to be a Mountaineer, wherever you may be.
By Godders, welcome to the week 12 episode of the Smoking Musket podcast. Recording from outside the heart of college football, I am Bart Keeler. And joining me now, the site manager of www.smokingmusket.com, Mike Miller!
Hi, Mike.
That's the most enthusiastically you've been greeted in a while, isn't it?
It has. It is.
How do you feel about the Mountaineers not being ranked by the College Football Playoff Committee again?
I mean, I'm not
surprised.
We'll
tackle, like, the tough questions, like, right out the bat. Like,
I'm not surprised. Because after the top nine or whatever of the rankings, that's just like they throw names at a board and see what, you know. They have a dartboard of names, and they just throw darts at it. That's all it is.
So I read an article that a fan / friend of mine posted. And granted, this was from like a – like I know I call us a fan site, but this is like a real fan site. Like this is just a fanboy making these arguments. But he had some valid points, and it's like – the College Football Playoff Committee basically just ranks teams outside of the top, like, eight to give the top eight reason to, like, look good. So Iowa State still gets some clout because they beat Oklahoma, obviously, but really it's so that Oklahoma can have that Iowa State loss and go, well, you know, it's not terrible.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only reason that, like, Northwestern and Michigan are, you know, still in the top 25 as highly as they are. It's the only reason that LSU is getting the love they're getting. So, you know, yeah, I think there's some legitimacy to what he's saying, is that they rank these teams based on how that will help teams above them.
I've never even looked at it like that. That might be possible there. I mean, that's the only thing that would make sense for them to do it.
Because
a friend of mine that I went to high school with that writes for another WVU site, he wrote a big article yesterday that I saw, and like he broke down the stats. There's no reason that West Virginia shouldn't be in over some of these other teams, but
right
here we are. So, you know,
yeah,
water wet.
Did you by chance see the Wide Right Natty Light Twitter feed this week and their argument with a Syracuse fan claiming that Syracuse is a better team than Iowa State on the sole purpose that they beat Clemson?
I did not, but I'm going to look at that right now.
It was I retweeted it last night, and I was like, y'all are doing the Lord's work. So basically this Syracuse fan is like making this argument that somehow Clemson or Syracuse is a far superior team to Iowa State, and it's unfair that Iowa State is in the top 25. Now, we can debate whether or not Iowa State deserves to be in the top 25, but clearly what we've seen from the playoff committee this year is that they value who you beat, which is one of the reasons why West Virginia's not in the top 25, to be quite honest, because we haven't really beaten anyone that the committee goes, oh, yeah, that's a quality win. But, yeah, it was an interesting read.
Oh, I see it, yeah. Wow, this Todd Blanchard is very he's a Syracuse hardo, I think.
Apparently, and it's just crazy. But anyway, I mean, look, the College Football Playoff is what it is. It's fine. We won't get into why Iowa State is better than Syracuse, but clearly the College Football Playoff Committee doesn't really value the Big 12 that much. That's fine. Whatever. We know this.
Here's the thing that everybody needs to understand: college football is really dumb. Like,
this is a fact. Yeah.
It might be the dumbest, but it's fun. It's fun to watch. It's fun to be a fan of.
It is.
But it's dumb. And you can't allow yourself to get so worked up about the dumbest stuff. So it's going to be all right, people. It's going to be all right.
Well, you know, look, we're 7-3. We control our own destiny to get into the Big 12 championship game. Obviously, we need a little help from TCU or Oklahoma State losing, or actually both of them losing. But if we went out, we're in a really good position to be in the Big 12 championship game. And if we went out, you know, I think you can say that we have a good season. But we'll talk about that a little bit later on when we focus on the Texas game. But for right now, Mike, just would you tell the fine folks that are listening, hopefully, how they can continue to listen to us and follow us on all of our platforms?
Absolutely. Well, first off, you can download the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio. In all three of those ways, you can just find it by searching for The Smoking Musket Podcast. You can listen to us on blogtalkradio.com/smokingmusket for the time being. I'm not sure what's going on there, what we're going to do, you know, as football season wraps up and we move into basketball season and from then on out. Every Monday night you can watch our live, well, I guess there's only, what, two more Mondays? Maybe three?
Yeah. We might do some during basketball season. I think it's fun.
Yeah. But you can watch Bart live on Facebook and ask him really dumb questions a million times.
Like the person who asked me 7 times what I thought about Dana leaving for Tennessee. When, I mean, I'm not saying I'm like super close to this, but I live in Georgia among Tennessee fans. And I'm significantly closer to Knoxville and the state of Tennessee than just about anyone in West Virginia. Never heard that. Have literally never heard Dana Holgerson's name for any job opening at all in the country.
Right. And I have friends that went to Tennessee and still live in the area and in Tennessee and stuff. And that's not in the conversation at all. So I don't know where that guy got that information from. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever told anybody this, but next fall the plan is to do like a really dumb video with my daughter, my 6-year-old daughter, and my friend's 4-year-old daughter, where they're gonna go head to head and like break down West Virginia and Tennessee before the season opener.
That will probably be more informative than what you're listening to now.
So I'm kind of like coaching my daughter up, and his daughter's super into it too. So
that'll be awesome. I mean, clearly, we do need to keep an eye on the Tennessee job because we're going to open up with Tennessee on whenever, September 1st or something like that, next season. So, you know, clearly that has a direct effect on how West Virginia will approach that game. But whatever. But, yeah, you can listen to me live on Facebook or watch me live on Facebook. And it, I mean, I think it's fun. Most people ask good questions. And it's nice for all the fans to, like, get together and debrief for a second. Nice. So tonight we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to, obviously we're talking now, but we're going to talk about some WVU sports headlines. Then I'm going to transition into WVU basketball, and we're going to take Andy. That's why Andy from our site, he does a lot of good power rankings and statistical breakdowns for us. And he and I are going to talk about the WVU basketball team and the debacle that was Texas A&M, and then why it actually doesn't matter at all. And then we'll talk about Texas. Sound good, Mike?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. So let's first start off with some WVU sports headlines. Randy Mazey brought home the 28th best recruiting class in college baseball this year. And quite honestly, he's done a lot of great things for the program since he's been here. This is the highest ranked recruiting class in program history. And obviously the Mountaineers are coming off their first NCAA tournament appearance since 1996. So pretty good offseason so far for the Mountaineer baseball program. After falling to Texas A&M in the season opener, the number 24 WVU men's basketball team rebounded in the home opener against American 98-64 at the WVU Coliseum. The women's basketball team is off to a pretty decent start. Granted, they haven't played too hard of opponents, but Tiana Muldrell has led the team to blowout win over both Central Connecticut State and Sacramento State. She scored 28 points in the 102-52 win over the Blue Devils and 27 points in the 101-47 win over the Hornets. I know that doesn't sound like, oh, wow, but like 100 points is still a lot of points, of course. So good for the Mountaineers. The 2017 WVU men's soccer season ended last Friday with a 1-0 loss to Western Michigan in the MAC tournament. The Mountaineers finished with a 9-6-4 record overall. But staying with soccer, the women's team will host Rutgers on Friday night at 7 p.m. at Dictola Soccer Stadium in the second round of the NCAA Women's Soccer Championship. If we win, we will play the winner of Penn State versus Wake Forest, which is also being held in Morgantown. That game will be on Sunday at 4 p.m., also at Dictola Soccer Stadium. So if you're in Morgantown for the football game, I implore you to go get in early or stay late for those West Virginia women's soccer games. It'll be a lot of fun. I know it's going to be a little bit chilly this weekend in Morgantown, but it won't be too bad. So you'll be able to brave the cold on Friday night to watch our women's soccer team play in the NCAA tournament. Anything else I missed, Mike?
I don't think so. Picked up another recruit in football.
The Oklahoma game, and we did pick up another recruit, but I mean, look, Dana's putting in some work now. I think we said it last couple weeks, but this is like what happens. Our recruiting class last year wasn't great because of the contract thing, and now that he's like, yeah, I'm going to be here for a while, recruits are coming. All right, Mike. Let's take a transition from – oh, last headline, WVU Oklahoma is set for a six-day window. So if you're looking for a time, that'll be set next Sunday. So, Mike, real quick, let's talk about this Kansas State game. Obviously, I did the breakdown on the Facebook Live, but I want your take. Just give me your three – now cold takes, but, you know, three takes from the WVU Kansas State game last weekend.
First off, this one might actually be a hot take. I don't know. Caron White is our best receiver. I don't even think. I mean,
oh, wow.
Yes, Sills leads in touchdown catches, but Caron White has come on like so strong that he is now our best receiver, and he's being overshadowed because of Sills's. I mean, he's got 18 touchdown catches, so of course that's going to overshadow the other guys.
Right.
But like, Caron White and Gary Jennings are having really good years. And they're, I don't think they're getting like the accolades that they deserve or whatever the word I'm looking for is there. But I think Caron is our best receiver right now.
Okay. I see that. He's definitely our best deep threat. I will say that. And as much as Marcus Sims is fast, but Caron White has proven to be a really good deep threat. So I'll take that hot take and kind
of
agree
second,
with you there.
I don't know if I have three hot takes or three even good takes. The defense, I think everybody would agree with this. Our defense has grown immensely. And we're seeing that now our freshmen are, you know, making plays. Kenny Robinson has saved the game, what, 2 weeks in a row? Pretty much.
Yep.
And he's a true freshman. So, so going forward, I think. And finally.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point, though. I mean, look, we worried about our young defense, right? And there is no doubt that our defense struggled early.
Oh, for sure.
Season,
but
right?
If you look
like,
at
no
it
doubt.
Now,
but
I mean, we've got Kenny Robinson coming on. Lamont McDougal has, you know, been good for about half the season and has been a starter. Ezekiel Rose, who's not young, but he's new to the program. I mean, he's really come on. He had an interception in the last game. So these new guys are finally contributing, you know, at a really high rate, I guess.
Yeah.
Dylan Tonkery is another one.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I think we're finally seeing the defense gel together. All right, give me number three.
Number three. Ooh, there are still, and again, I think everybody would agree with this, there are still problems with our offense and our play calling or whatever it is that's going to put us in bad situations in the next three games. I'm going to say three games. I'm going to cover it in the bowl game too, probably, because I don't know that whatever the problem is going to be fixed by then.
True. Look, another second half where West Virginia scored 0 points. Teams don't make that many adjustments at halftime, y'all. They just don't. All right? Someone did point this out in the Facebook Live review that maybe Stapp isn't good at making adjustments. I mean, yeah, but he adjusted his game plan a lot in both second halves. We didn't go down the field very much, in my opinion, and which was the way we, like, watching that game back, the way we beat Kansas State was going down the field on them, right? Like, that's how we scored our first touchdown, and we were finally able to get into momentum. As soon as we did that, they're like, oh, crap, they figured it out. And we just kind of didn't do that enough in the second
and
half.
It's, we've seen it for, like, two or three games now. We play well in the first half or decent in the first half and just go in at halftime, take a nap, and never wake up. Thankfully, the defense, you know, stays
and it's not the
somewhat awake.
Problem. Yeah. Yeah. We can't do that against Texas, not because Texas is going to score a whole lot of points, but just because they will keep chipping away. And I mean, we've said that 3 weeks in a row now. You can't take a half or a quarter off. So, I mean, that's just what it is. Any last thoughts? I mean, we're 7-3, right?
That's good.
That's not bad.
That's kind of right where I thought we'd be. I thought coming into the season we were,
I mean,
a strong possibility for having a 9-win season. Well, I mean, there's still that possibility, but it looks like an 8-win season is, you know, in the cards. So I'll take it.
Yep. Well, I mean, everyone at the beginning of the season kind of wrote us off as this rebuilding, regrouping year, and maybe said we would be lucky to get the 6 wins, especially if you look at the people, you know, Solid Verbal, I think, said that.
Solid Verbal said we'd have, like, 4 wins.
Still don't even like
so,
us to get to it. Yeah, so, Dan and Ty, you are wrong. We're already past that. I mean, look, we were picked to finish 6th in the Big 12. We're currently 4th. Obviously, we still have 2 games to play, and a lot can happen. But from what I can tell, there's no way we're finishing – I don't think there's a way we finish lower than 6th. So that's good. We have a legitimate shot to make the Big 12 title game. We will need a little bit of help, but for the most part, we can, if we take care of our business, then you can't complain. So I'm happy with how the team's record looks. Obviously the performances have been a little shaky, but I mean, I think you and I both agree 7-3 is pretty darn good. We've only lost to 3 teams that are clearly better than us, right?
I mean, Virginia Tech's kind of fallen down, you know, a lot. But that night,
but on
were,
that night,
they were
and,
good.
And before
I mean,
then,
they were better than we were that night. Now, I don't have a problem admitting that.
And
I think we've grown as a team, and
I mean,
they've regressed.
We could
as a
have
team.
Won, but right. I mean, it's the same thing like the Michigan Florida win. It's like, well, yeah, Michigan beat a team in Florida that like was supposed to be pretty good. Clearly, they are not. But like at the beginning of the season, no one was going, "Oh, wow, that's just kind of a crap game." It was like, oh, that's just a crap game from Florida. It wasn't Florida's bad. So, I mean, yeah, Virginia Tech at that point was still supposedly really, really good. And they're still a decent football team. I mean, don't get me wrong. So, and obviously Oklahoma and TCU, I would say, are better complete football teams.
Before we move on, you said we still have a chance at the championship game. Did you see the Reddit post that I linked? Like on Twitter and in the Slack chat.
No.
So some Redditor, in typical Reddit fashion, like full on statistics nerd. I don't know how they figured this up. They figured out that there are 1,024 possible results remaining over the next going into the Big 12 championship, and they broke it down by possibilities. And somehow, out of 1,024 possibilities, West Virginia has 154 possibilities to become the number one seed in the championship game.
I mean, again, y'all, it can happen.
We have more chances to be the number one seed than the number two seed. We only have 87 possibilities to be the two seed.
Yeah. Well, that's what, if you went out, right, obviously, that gives Oklahoma a second loss. Obviously, we would only have 2, so we would have a tiebreaker against Oklahoma in that ordeal. If TCU and Oklahoma State each lose one more, right, they've got 3 losses each. So, yeah.
It's just crazy to me that somebody...
This is the point. We are well...
Somebody went out there and like...
Well, yeah.
And Texas has one chance. One possibility. Yeah. And we can shut that down Saturday.
Yes, we can. So, I mean, a lot to play for West Virginia. Not just a good bowl game, but, you know, a chance at a conference title is still out there. And that's... Like, we talked about goals at the beginning of the season. Obviously, goal number one, I think, like, baseline goal for any competent college football program, bowl eligibility. you don't talk about it, but that's like the, no, we have to do this. The next goal for just about any program, at least, is, you know, except for maybe 10, is win a conference championship. You know, maybe 20, because you have 10 who are like, well, let's just try to win 3 games, and the other 10 are like, well, let's try to win a national championship. But, you know, we're in that field of, like, we legitimately have a shot to win a Big 12 championship every year. I'm not saying that we are going to, but, you know, it's like, well, if we win the games we need to, we can do it. So it's still there.
Yeah, I mean, look at this season. I mean, this season is a perfect example. We lost 3 games, but we're still right there in it.
Right. And it's one of those things where, like, obviously our 3 losses were to teams that, I mean, we've said this, are clearly, if not better than us, on the same level of us, right? Like, in my opinion, we're not losing games where you go, how the hell did we lose that, you know?
I haven't looked at it, but, like, so, if we would have lost to, say, Texas Tech but beat TCU, we would have a better chance at it right now, wouldn't we?
Right. Right.
So it's all about who you lose to and who you beat.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of things have to happen. All right, well, we'll talk football more on the other side of this, but we're going to go into the WVU Hoops section of the podcast. I'm going to bring on our friend, Stats Boy Andy, a writer and contributor to www.smokingmusket.com. So we're going to talk about the WVU basketball teams, both men's and women, because I think the women's team is worth talking about a lot this year. And to prove that I'm not sexist, we will talk about the women's basketball team. So... if you watched the Facebook Live video and read comments, you would know why I made that comment. Thanks, Mike. We'll join back up together in part 3.
Sounds good.
Sound good?
Bye, Godders. Welcome into the basketball portion of this week's episode of the Smoking Musket podcast. Joining me to talk shooty hoops for the Mountaineers, it's Stats Boy Andy. He is a contributor to SmokingMusket.com and a wonderful eye when it comes to college basketball. He has a very good viewpoint.
I'm doing well. I mean, it's that time of year where I'm split between basketball and football and wondering if it's still worth my time and effort to do all that I do with it. But, you know, it only lasts for a couple weeks and then you're, you know, on to just one sport at a time, which is good.
It is busy. Well, and yep. I mean, I know you don't do the women's soccer, but that's going on as well. A lot of sports going on if you have to work in sports information or stats or anything like that. But obviously you're here to talk about WVU basketball, and the Mountaineers did not get off to a good start of the season. Well, let me rephrase
The Texas A&M game, you know, that was a – that's one of those things. I think a lot of people read a lot into that game. And I don't know if that's like, I was talking with, you know, some of the people involved in W Athletics. You know, that was a 72-hour, like, 3,000-mile trip where they flew from, you know, D.C. to Frankfurt, then 2 hours on a bus into Darmstadt, Germany. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's not an excuse, obviously, and there were a lot of things that went wrong in that game, but I think that people read a lot into it. I mean, there are warning signs for this group. There's no doubt about it, but, you know, I think that people made a lot out of sort of what happened in that game, and it's also hard to judge because, you know, we don't have Asa Ahmad, and I know that Asa has been inconsistent at times, absent at times, but, you know, as Hugs says, it's a matter of getting his motor going, you know, at the same speed all the time. But he makes a big difference just in what, how athletic he is and how, you know, how he's able to, you know, attack the rim. I think that was the thing you saw against Texas A&M is when that game really sort of like fell apart was because they switched into a zone offense or zone defense. And I've said this for probably about 10 years now. I'm not sure why people play man defense against us. Like, I'm still not sure why you just don't go into a 2-3 zone, because that was really, you know, we've got some people who can get to the rim, you know, Dax Miles Jr., you know, Javon Carter, but the athleticism of Asa Ahmad enabled to just attack the rim. So I think that, you know, I'm not overly worried about the A&M game. I'm more curious to see what happens, you know, here in the next week, 2 weeks. We've got a stretch of games coming up, you know, that are really important. You know, last night against American, we did not look like a very good basketball team for about the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes, really. Just sort of slow and sluggish.
Yeah.
I think it was, I think there's a couple things to it. So I think some of it was sort of hangover effect. I think part of it was you have a whole bunch of players who are not used to playing with each other. I mean, really outside of Dax and Javon, the other people he's running through this, you know, rotation have not played a whole lot of time together. And, you know, I think that makes a big difference. And the other thing was that we had non-existent post play. I mean, at one point in the first half, it was like
kind of fair.
Like,
I mean,
headed to the, like, the start of the second half, it was we had like, I want to say 12 or 13 made field goals, and 11 of those were from guards, and I am counting Teddy Allen as a guard, but which is kind of a misnomer because I think he's really more of a small forward, may end up in that small forward role. But, you know, so I think that's part of it. I think that this team sort of like meshing. One of the big things that I don't know how much people notice, but we more or less against American abandoned the press. We like almost completely abandoned the full court press. So I think one of the things, like, I know that, like,
yeah, it was interesting.
There are certain corners of our fan base, who I think don't understand Huggins very well. Huggins is one of the most adaptive coaches I think I've ever like came across. I mean, you look at what he did. You look at what he did when he came here. He came here and had a bunch of John Beilein, you know, Beilein boys, and you know, changed how he ran his offense and his defense. And so I think he's.
Well, and his press that he brought eventually wasn't, I mean,
that was the press was an adaptation of what are my personnel, how am I going to win, and that I can't win, you know, how I've done it before, I've got to switch, so let's try the press. So maybe this team doesn't press, but the defense was still in spurts really good, and I mean, that's the big part. I mean, Huggs said in the post game was, you know, getting people, you know, Beetle Bailey's got to guard somebody for and learn how to guard
somebody.
I think Teddy Allen is you know who Teddy Allen reminds me a lot of. He's not as big, but he reminds me a lot of Kevin Jones. I can see him turning into maybe that type of you know, a Kevin Jones type of player, or maybe a not Wellington. I think Wellington had a better, you know, had a better stroke than, I mean, I saw Teddy Allen take a couple of threes, and he has a very quick release. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, no, and I understand what you're saying. Cause, you know, Kevin Jones was he was a stretch forward at best. That's the best way I can describe him, because he wasn't necessarily as big,
you know,
as he needed to be.
He's a guy my high school basketball coach always called and
work on offense.
Sounds worse than it is, but he's a garbage player. So he's that guy who can go in under the rim and get things, make things happen, you know, really like, and those are the kind of guys that Huggs loves, right? I mean, that's.
Huggs wants people who are going to work hard, and he has.
So that's,
he
speaking of working hard, I mean, that's
willing to work hard.
The story of the next couple weeks is going to be what happens with Sagabaugh. You know, if Sags wants to, you know, Sags, I see really going in one of two directions at this point. He's either going to, you know, make it and become like a Devin, you know, go down the Devin Williams path, or he's going to join the collection of bigs who doesn't want to work for Hugs and transfers out.
Right. I mean, you mentioned it, just, I guess, to recap real quick this season so far, West Virginia's only played two games. We started off at, what, number 11, 13, something like that, and lost to Texas A&M 88-65. And when I say on the road, I mean, like, literally across the world. We were in Germany playing in a makeshift court, in a makeshift arena, actually an Air Force aircraft hangar. You know, and that's a really cool thing. You know, Armed Forces Classic was really awesome. The uniforms were cool. You know, great cause. But really, I agree with you in terms of, look, how much do you want to take from that game is up to you. How much can you take from that game is a whole nother question entirely. It is what it is. It's fine. We're not Kentucky looking really shaky against Virginia Valley Conference Mountain West thing. And Vermont, you know, no offense to Vermont. They're actually a pretty decent, you know, tournament team, but
who may be one of the better teams. I mean, you know, they were,
should do well on the,
they did not have, probably the best player, maybe the best player in the SEC. And so he was out for that game. So, you know, I think A&M, I think that at the end of the season, I don't think that A&M loss, you know, is going to be something that you stick your head on. And here's the good thing for a team like WVU that's sort of struggling is, you know, struggling to really sort of find their identity here early is that, you know, we had American last night, and American was a team that was not terribly impressive. And so that was an opportunity to get a lot of people in, especially once we sort of, like, you know, remembered who we are and asserted our authority. And you've got a couple games here where you're going to have an opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Saturday against a Morgan State team that
– Friday. Saturday. Sunday.
Quite frankly, if it's much of a game, there's – then I think you can be worried. I think, you know, there's obviously some minefield coming up, but I'm not terribly worried yet. So,
well, I mean, let's talk about that for a second. Obviously, as we said, we just played American. West Virginia beats American 98-64. Yeah, we didn't look great for the first half, but it came alive, and you come away with a 34-point victory. I mean, that's whatever. They're a college basketball team who still has talent. We beat them. It's fine. You move on. We're not used to playing Texas A&M in the first game of the season, to be quite honest. We haven't done that in a while. We didn't get a real first game, if you will. We get that against American. Morgan State coming up on Saturday, Long Beach State on Monday, and then we go into this Advocare Invitational, which, quite honestly, not a great how do I put this nicely? Not a great lineup of teams. On our side of the bracket thing, we have Marist on Thursday, which is Thanksgiving Day, and then Friday we'll play either UCF or Nebraska. The top half, a little bit better. You've got Missouri, St. John's, Oregon State. So you've got the potential to play some decent teams, but, I mean, really, A&M is – probably the best.
Yeah, I mean, by the time we're done with this tournament, I mean, Marist is not very good. Marist lost to Lehigh and University of Massachusetts Lowell. So not even, like, the real UMass. So you've got them coming. You've got them in the first couple games. Nebraska's not... I mean, they're a Big Ten team, and so you can't, like, sleep on them, but they're not.
No.
They're not much of a challenge. And UCF is just about in the same boat. I mean, they're, you know, I think maybe, you know, a team that I'd be a little more concerned about. They are 2-0, but they've played Mercer and Gardner-Webb, who They only beat Gardner Webb, who's a, not a really very challenging basketball team, by 3 points or something like that. So,
right. Yeah. It is. I mean, the Advocare Invitational is just really, it's definitely not one of the premier preseason tournaments, if you will. But it's still a chance to get some good run out from the guys and play some teams that are, you know, fairly, I'll put
I mean,
them at
you know, if you're West Virginia, as far as, you know, thinking
teams.
About your, you know, your tournament resume here, right? You know, if which I think, you know, we are capable of thinking
right.
about our resume at this point in the season. But I think you probably want to see Missouri. I mean, Missouri is a team that's intriguing to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Either one. I mean, St. John's for some, you know, old
Missouri
Big East flavor.
John's.
But, like,
definitely.
Missouri to me is probably going to be the
yeah.
team that has a chance to be, you know, they had a down year last year, and they're sort of sorting things out. But they've got some. They've got a real recruiting class. They beat Iowa State pretty handily in their season
yep.
opener and blew out Wagner 99-55 or something like that, and beat Iowa State in their opener. And so they've got, I think, maybe Utah tonight. Oh, they're getting blasted by Utah. So just as I talked them up, so they're losing to a Utah team. But I think Missouri's I think other than us, Missouri's probably the best team in this tournament. So that's who you want to see.
Yes.
Well, you hope. I mean, I would have thought we would have won
last
year's
tournament.
Temple comes out and plays their minds. But yeah, I think largely speaking, our non-conference schedule is set up in such a way that for a team like ours that's sort of going through this building transition, that you couldn't have picked a much better schedule to set up for having maybe, I mean, I think Javon Carter is the most valuable person on our floor, but I think in pure talent, Ace Ahmad's a better player. And so
absolutely,
if you're going to have Ace Ahmad out for half a season while you're sort of restructuring things, the non-conference schedule sets up pretty well. Obviously, we've got Pitt up there, and then Virginia are probably, before we start Big 12 play, the two biggest tests. That's really what I'm looking to see. I mean, I think if we come out of this Advocare International as, quote, tournament champions, and we beat Pitt and at least play with and or beat Virginia, I think we're fine.
Absolutely. I mean, the non-conference for us, I would say, I think if you're a Big 12 team, the non-conference is about getting ready to play conference play. And I say that because the Big 12 still, we're going to be a little bit down this year because I don't think Iowa State won't
be
as good this
year.
Oklahoma State is still who knows what. they're going to, I don't know what they're going to be, and it won't be fun. That's all I'm going to say about Oklahoma State. Texas Tech probably on the rise. TCU, by all accounts, should be on the rise. But there's still a Big 12 conference out there that if you do well in the Big 12, you're going to get into the tournament. The non-conference games, I mean, obviously A&M, Pitt, Virginia are going to help determine how high.
You know, we've got this.
You're going to get.
And we have a schedule that's sort of.
That's the way I look at it.
We have a schedule for us that sets up where we have a lot of opportunities. I mean, we're going to get Kansas twice. You're going to get Baylor. You're going to get Kentucky. So Kentucky is going to be another one of those games. I mean, Kentucky, they struggled a little bit, but then against Kansas, they looked – I mean, I thought they looked – I thought they looked like they could have beat Kansas.
That looked all right.
I mean, they've got Scott – I mean, the difference.
Yep.
So here's the difference.
Just fine.
When we reload, it's a lot different than when Kentucky –
So here's the difference.
Because – you know,
than when Kentucky really, yes.
But I think we're probably
Kansas
fine.
Or,
I mean, there's some things to watch
it
for.
It's so different.
I'm not, like I said, I thought the biggest The biggest thing I'm watching for is the development. What happens with our post play? We have to get some kind of post play going because we're not good enough of a shooting team. We're just not. That has not changed. You know, you come to the dance with who you are.
That's
so,
still hasn't changed.
You know, that's the things to watch for. So but it's still early, and we'll see. And I thought it was great to see Logan Rout have a great game, and you know, Beatles having a pretty good early season with his shooting. He just needs to learn to defend someone. I'm really excited about Teddy Allen. You know, Levant West played pretty well.
No one played like to take away from both of those games, but Hugs will have them ready for. There's no doubt.
You know, we're gonna have sort of a some good prep actually for the road because we've got 1 day prep for Morgan State, 1 day prep for Long Beach, and then a couple days.
Long Beach.
A travel day without any prep, so that's all good practice for the sort of rough and tumble of the Big 12 where you can have a weekend swing of I forget, we have one really rough weekend.
We have Kansas, Kentucky, and like Baylor. And I think maybe Iowa State in there as well.
Well,
like
but they did a pretty –
like,
I mean,
why?
The nice thing about – the Big 12 has actually been – you know, one of the things Hugs has pretty much asked for is can he get his first two conference games on the road because, you know, we don't have students there and it's hard. You know, so we're going to get our first two conference games on the road.
Well, and if we're going to have to travel, we'd rather have to travel all this way when we don't have to go back to school. That's really the reason why. It's because we don't have to, you know, you don't have to worry about missing a day of class because there are no classes. So it makes sense. Real quick, I'll get your thoughts on this West Virginia women's basketball team. Obviously, you know, they're coming off of a surprise win of the Big 12 championship, but
well, the thing was last year, you know, they had they were up and down. They had a lot of consistency problems. They had a ton of injuries. I mean, they were decimated by, you know, different knee and you know, knee injuries. And so, you know, Mike Carey's a fantastic coach, and he's very underrated because, you know, it is rare that they get routed because – they will just fight and scrap, and you know, he's got a schedule again. I mean, the one thing that I will say about Mike Carey is that I'm not a fan of his scheduling. Just not. But, you know, he's got to come out. He's going to, you know, they've got – I've watched a little bit of them the other night, and you know, they're very athletic. I mean, that's the thing. They play – terrific defense for, you know, the full 40 minutes they're going to, you know, go at you. And so I think if you've got a chance to go watch them, you know, take advantage of it, especially when you've got some great teams in. You know, they're going to get to play Texas. They're going to get to play Baylor. You'll get to see Oklahoma. They actually have Pitt at home. So
Yes, we get Pitt at home. We get to play Virginia Tech in the Paradise Jam Thanksgiving tournament, and we also get Texas A&M, albeit on the road. But
Tynese Martin
really good
is fantastic. She's one of the better players
that
we've had in a long time, and we've had really good.
She is.
And Naomi Davenport, I think, is definitely coming
really
along,
good.
And that's going to be something to watch. But
Obviously, though, Tynese Martin, unfortunately, not playing right now. She's still recovering from the ankle injury that she sustained while playing for the girls' national basketball team. But, like, that tells you her level of talent. She's being, of all the women who play, girls who play basketball in this country, she's one of the, you know, 12, 13 best, according to USA Basketball. You mentioned Davenport. I mean, Tiana Muldrow has put up. 27
and the thing that I'll say about WVU
darn good.
what really started to happen for them down the stretch last year was they started to finally get some good guard play. That had been a real problem for them because all of their guards were out. I mean, they,
yes.
All of their guards were, out for, whatever reason. So I think that as they start to come together, I mean, as, you know, they've got, as once they get Tynese Martin back, they're going to be.
Guard play will not be an issue. Andy, I mean, like you said, this women's team is pretty good. They've got a lot of good athletes on the team. They're going to be fun to watch. If you can make it out to a game, you really should. I mean, I encourage
you. The women's games, if you haven't had a chance, it's a very different atmosphere than the men's teams. It's very laid back. It's very family friendly. So if you've got kids or you have people who aren't like really big into sports, but maybe they want to have a good time, it's a good time. And it's like you can go for almost free.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I mean, these are what they call the not-for-profit sports. I mean, they are. I mean, women's basketball kind of makes a little bit of a profit, but you're talking like men's and women's soccer, baseball. Like, they're selling tickets because they have to, not because they're trying to make a profit off of you. And if you call the right person in the ticket office, they'll hook you up, I'm sure. But look, both men's and women's teams, I mean, I think this could be a really, really good year for Mountaineer basketball. We talked last year how that might have been the best year for WVU sports in general, with our 10-win football team, two basketball teams going to the Sweet 16, or a basketball team going to the Sweet 16. The women's team went to the second round. A women's soccer team at a national runners-up. So this is still a continuance, and this is something that, from an athletic standpoint, like, we've got two very good basketball teams. I think the women's team could challenge again for a conference title. I mean, why not? They did it last year. There's no reason why they can't do the tournament run again.
Yeah, but I think they should. I mean, I think they should
make the NCAA tournament this year.
You know, obviously the women's tournament is sort of, UConn and then everyone else, but there's no reason.
Let's be real honest. The reason South Carolina won.
So I mean, but you think about the way in which the season schedule's up for them. They've got a number of opportunities to play against top teams. You've got Texas's preseason, I think, 2 or 3, and Baylor's preseason 2 or 3, and Oklahoma's right there. So there's no reason to believe that this team's not going to compete for a spot as one of the – the thing that I think would be big for Mike Carey's team, on the women's side, the way the tournament works now is that the top seed in the pod, right, of the – actually hosts the first two rounds. And I think that because the problem that Mike Carey's teams have gotten into essentially every year of the tournament is being seeded in a region where they end up on somebody else's home court, sometimes against a lower seed, which is crappy.
Yep.
That does not happen anymore.
Weird. Yeah, they changed that.
Yeah.
Now it is perceived, but like last year, you lose to Ohio State.
Ohio State has been our kryptonite for a couple years.
I'm getting my ears confused. Yeah, okay, so Ohio State.
So I think, if Mike Carey's team can maybe get out there and challenge and compete for and get to host a first round games, that they could get into the Sweet 16. And I think that his defense is – their ability to play defense – I think could make them really dangerous if they could get into those neutral site Sweet 16 games. I think that's a realistic goal for them is to get to the Sweet 16. So
all right. Well, I mean, I think that about wraps it up for me in terms of basketball. I like the way you ended that, though. I mean, I think both teams.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of programs
I think that
can
should be
say
the goal
that,
for both teams.
Their yearly goal is the Sweet 16, and if we don't get the Sweet 16, it's kind of a disappointing season. And I think if you're a Mountaineer fan, that's a takeaway that we're in a really great shape, and this is a great time to be a Mountaineer.
Well, Andy, I appreciate it. Stats Boy Andy, everybody. What's your Twitter again?
Yep. I'm at
That's right. That's what I thought it was, but I don't want to mess it up because I messed up Grant when one of my friends came on the last week, and I felt so bad. I was like, no, I messed it up. I messed up all of your information. I'm sorry. So there it is. Ask That's Why Andy on Twitter. He writes for us. You'll see him doing power rankings of the Big 12 Conference. Like I said, he's got a good perspective for basketball. So hopefully you'll hear him throughout the season and whoever else I happen to pull on. Andy,
yeah, thanks for having
your time,
me.
And as always, thanks for the work you do for us.
All right,
Mountaineer fans, stay tuned. We've just finished up the basketball portion. Mike and I will return for part three of the Smoking Musket podcast as we get into breaking down what we think is going to happen in this West Virginia-Texas game.
Bye, Gotters. Welcome back to Football Talk on the Smoking Musket podcast. Thanks to Andy for joining me for some Shooty Hoops talk. Now, Mike, let's turn our attention to the Texas Longhorns, a big matchup on Saturday, a matchup that could set the tone of the narrative for the 2017 WVU football season, really for both teams. You know, this is a tone-setting game for both teams. Texas Longhorns come into Morgantown on Saterday, November 18th, for a high noon kickoff, another noon game. But the Mountaineers are going to be hosting 5-5 Texas Longhorns team with bowl eligibility still in question. They're 4-3 in the conference. They could rise as high as third if my math is correct, if everything goes their way. They could possibly, as Mike pointed out in the last section, make it to the Big 12 title game, but a lot would have to happen. But in their first year under Tom Herman, Texas has been, I would call them, inconsistent at best. They lost to Maryland and USC in the non-conference, but like West Virginia, their three conference losses, their 4-3, are to teams that are in the top three in the conference. They've lost to TCU, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State. So, Mike, just real quick, I mean, this Texas team, you look at it and go, oh, they're only 5-5, but are they better than their record suggests? I mean, where do you rate them, if you will?
I don't know that they're better than 5-5. I think they have the potential. I think they kind of right. Shoot themselves in the foot sometimes, from what I've seen. And before I dive in, let me go back to the noon kickoff thing, and let me just ask a question to anybody that's going to be listening to this. Do you really want to be at Mountaineer Stadium at 7 p.m. at night in the end of November when it's like freezing cold watching a 5-5 Texas team? You don't.
Well, see, my argument or my rebuttal to that would be, what other games
That's true.
Are worth a night game?
That's
game?
True.
You know? And that was the only thing that I kind of had a little bit of beef with. Like, surely a WVU-Texas game would at least draw some viewers, right? Like, you can put it on ESPN2 or Fox Sports 1 at 7:30, and people are going to
watch
it. Yeah,
I mean, that is true.
That's
from a TV standpoint, we are a better game. But, like, the fans...
I mean, you get Texas...
The fans freaking out.
Yeah. But, yeah, I understand your point.
It doesn't matter what's going to happen, because it's the... Make sure everybody understands this. This is the Friday before Thanksgiving. Or the Saturday before Thanksgiving, sorry. Students get kicked out of the dorms on Friday. They have to leave the dorms.
Friday at midnight or Friday at 5 or 7 or somewhere in that.
So
they got to go. So don't get mad at
student turnout. Student turnout's already going to be low. Because, I mean, basically they have to find somewhere to crash if they live in the dorms.
Right. And a lot more students live in the dorms now because they have built a lot of university housing that is very apartment-like. So I just want everyone to understand that, like, not everyone lives in an apartment off campus like they probably did back in your day, right? Where now you have a lot of people live in student housing because it's just as cheap and it's on campus and all these.
And the public turnout's going to be low too. I mean, like I said, it's going to be cold.
Yeah.
This isn't like a huge marquee game. I mean, it kind of is just because it's Texas, but they're not Oklahoma. They're not ranked, you know, in the top 10 or whatever.
And they're not even a Texas team with a winning record. They're
so people are going to be on Twitter and Facebook complaining about the students not being at the game. But if you look around, there's going to be a lot of people not at the game. And it would have been worse if it was at 7 o'clock at night. When it's freezing.
Absolutely. Actually, yeah, I mean, yes. And look, I think you'll get half and half. You'll get a lot of people who go out of town for Thanksgiving, but I know a lot of people are coming into town for Thanksgiving, so they probably might make that trip up to Morgantown. But I understand what you're saying. This is one of those, like, it's basically the holiday weekend. If it were the Thanksgiving Friday or Saturday, like immediately after, then I would be a problem. I would have problems with, like, the actual stands not being full, because, like, that's when you
right.
should have a full house. But, you know, yeah, this is like a, well, we're not there. You know, this is a weird time. But
anyways.
Whatever. It sucks that we didn't get a night game, but I will still say that we're not great at night games in the Big 12, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I guess we're okay with games that, like, go into the night, like 3:30 games.
Right. We're good with games that go into the night, and we're really good with noon games, all I'm saying. I don't want to – I'm just putting that out there. But, like, look, we sit at 7-3, 5-2 in the conference. We have a shot at a Big 12 title game appearance. We kind of have – control, but not full control of our own destiny in that regard. But basically, have to win out, and TCU and Oklahoma have to win another or lose another game. But I mean, from just a bird's eye view, a neutral perspective, a lot of people would say, "Oh, well, Texas should have a real shot at this game because they're Texas." And you know, I don't know if their 5-5 is true, but like when you look at their 5-5, they have some good wins, they have some bad losses, but I mean, I think they're 5-5. I don't know if we're necessarily a 7-3 team, but we've shown that we are more good than bad, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, we could very easily be, you know, 5-5.
Yeah. We could easily be 5-5 or 6-4, or we could be 8-2 if a couple of, you know, if a couple of calls in a TCU game go our way, or, you know, a ball doesn't slip through David Phil's hands in the end zone against Virginia Tech. You know, these are things that could happen. I mean, just what are your initial thoughts when you look at this game and this matchup?
Oh, man. I think I've said this every week. Like, I never have a good feeling going into any of these games anymore because I don't know what our offense is going to do. And I don't know. I don't like putting it all on our defense. I mean, our defense has improved, but I don't like putting it all on them. Just like I wouldn't like putting it all on the offense.
I feel like and I feel like this is the same type of narrative that we've had the last 3 weeks. Because Iowa State, Kansas State, and Texas are kind of three very similar teams. They're not going to light it up on offense, but they're very solid on defense, and they all force turnovers in their own weird way. So for me, that's the concern, is our offense can't take a quarter off, and we need to get to that 30-point mark to beat Texas.
And here's something else.
And I've said that, I think,
here's something else that's in play. Texas is 5-5, like we said, so they need to one more win to be bowl eligible. They're going to try to get that win this week. They have a reason to play. We're already bowl eligible. They need to be bowl eligible.
Right, and I don't think that's in the back of our minds necessarily, like that particularly, but it definitely is something
because,
that Texas is playing for. Like Texas,
and they play Texas Tech next week as their last game, so they're going to go ahead and try to knock that out this week to not have to worry about it next week.
Yeah, and that is something that people do need to understand. Texas is going to be very motivated for this game. You look at these offenses though, and we talked about our offense has been really good and really bad at times. The big news out of Austin this week is that Shane Buechele will start at quarterback for the Longhorns. So their offense is going to look a little different. Now he started, I think, 3 games this year. He's played in 5, but the sophomore has been criticized throughout his time in Austin and lost the starting job at the beginning of the year. I mean, granted he kind of got hurt, but you know, Sam Ellinger kind of took over and a lot of people liked the way he played. I don't know if Buechele or Ellinger, I don't know which one is better. I think Buechele is a better quarterback. The numbers support that. His completion percentage is better. But it seems like the offense was a little bit better under Ellinger. It's really weird how to judge this Texas offense because they've had 2 different quarterbacks all season. But how do you think this development that Shane Buechele is going to be starting affect this game?
I don't know. we've beat Shane Buechele before, but he has more experience over Sam Ehlinger.
Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce it. Ehlinger. I've heard it both ways on the internet.
I've heard it both ways.
So I don't.
Yeah.
Know. I'm just going with what I want to say. It's not. We know it's not Seals or Seals, but you know, whatever. Seals.
So I think that's a leg up for them because he does have the game experience, even though he did lose the starting job.
Absolutely.
I really don't know how it's going to affect the game, honestly. Because, I mean, it's a total crapshoot. Because at any day, like, he could have a good day or he could have a bad day, the same as the other guy. So,
right.
Yes.
Both of them have been wildly inconsistent. They've had really
and
good
that's,
games.
That's why Texas is 5-5 right
Texas
now.
Texas is...
That's a large part of it.
Right. They've had games. I mean, look, they scored 56 against San Jose State, right? They scored 41 in a loss to Maryland. So their offense isn't terrible. But then they also beat Iowa State with only 17 points. They only scored 10 at home against Oklahoma State. They only got 7 against Baylor. It's up and down. And it's not like our offense where it's like it was in a game we're up and down. Like their offense game
like completely
game has
different.
Been up and down. And the numbers kind of support that. Yeah, 100% different. It's like that Oklahoma State game was actually really tough to watch. The fact that Oklahoma State's defense held them to 10 points. Now a lot of that was some weird plays and turnovers, but like how Oklahoma State didn't find out a way to put 40 on Texas in that game is, in my opinion, more on Oklahoma State than it was on Texas. But it's just so weird how they have been so inconsistent. But let's compare these offenses for a second. So when you look at Big 12 rankings, I'm not going to go into NCAA because it's more complicated, but just in the Big 12, West Virginia has the third best offense in the conference. We average 39 points a game. Granted, that has been down the last couple weeks, but 39 points a game, 513.9 yards per game. We have the third best pass offense and the fifth best rush offense. So pretty good numbers there. Now, Texas, curiously, I don't know if you saw this. Jed Drenning tweeted out that Texas has run the most plays in the Big 12 conference, which – like he said that, and I was like,
"That doesn't even
what?
Make sense."
Like, my,
yeah.
Scooby, right. But they've run 782 plays, so that's about 78 plays a game. However, they are seventh in total offense, eighth in scoring offense, and they're the seventh best rushing offense in the conference. So, like, this is what I'm talking about with their offense. Is like, okay, you've run all these plays, but like, what are you getting with it?
Nothing, apparently.
It's weird. Yeah, I mean, it's weird, right? Like, that's a really weird stat that you would think that, especially in the Big 12. Like, you look at teams like Oklahoma State and Texas Tech, who want to run a lot of plays, even Oklahoma. But they get points and yardage out of it. Texas isn't. So, I mean, which offense has the advantage in this game?
I would have to say it's our offense, because we're more consistent. Well, on the whole, I guess we're more consistent. Game
to game, we
right.
know what to expect from
now,
our offense.
Now, the thing is our offense going to play all four quarters, or are they going to fall asleep at halftime and just kind of, sleepwalk through the rest of the game and let Texas get back into it?
Right.
I hope that's not the case. I hope we finally put four quarters together, because we're going to need to put four quarters together before next week.
I'll take three
yeah.
quarters.
Give me three this week and four next week.
Like, right. Like, we're not asking for a whole lot. Just score a point in the second half, Have a good first half and then maybe score.
When was the last time we scored
half?
A point in the second half?
We're not picky. Against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, it was.
And we actually had, offensively, a better second half. Now, granted, some of that was some defensive stuff, but, we actually had a decent second half against Oklahoma State. I would say we had a decent second half against TCU as well.
So we're just on a two-game streak where we didn't score the second half.
We had a really
half,
good
so...
third quarter. Against...
Okay.
Right. We had a really good third quarter against Baylor. We didn't do anything in the fourth
so
quarter.
So something
really
happened at the beginning of November that,
Baylor.
Like, it's no score November
right.
or something. I don't know.
And I don't think it's because teams are seeing something on film. I truly believe this is an us problem. Okay, I'm glad we agree on that, because it's an us problem. But we are facing a defense that pretty stout. When you look statistically, the roles are a little bit reversed. Texas is the number two total defense, while West Virginia is number seven. But when it comes to the rushing defense, we kind of knew this. West Virginia is ninth, Texas is second. That's concerning for me, because we have, the past couple games, gotten our groove back with the run game. And now we're playing a team that definitely has a very, very good front four, maybe front seven, who can stop the run. But we said that about Kansas State, too. Granted, Texas, I think, has more talent. But from a rushing perspective, I mean, does that concern you going against this Texas defense?
Not really.
Okay.
And I really can't explain why. Like, it's just a kind of a feeling I have. I don't think I think we're going to be able to run. I think Justin Crawford's finally got it together again, which it doesn't seem like it during the game, but if you look at his numbers at the end of the game, I mean, he's getting over 100 yards again.
Yep.
Like, they're like
Yep.
2 yards at a time. But
and
he's
Kennedy McCoy
them.
Has been
and
solid.
McCoy's solid. So we're able to run. Maybe we won't have as much success. Maybe we might not have over 100 yards. But I don't think it's going to be something that kills us.
Okay. Now, looking at the pass defense, this is kind of weird. West Virginia, surprisingly, has the second-best pass defense in the Big 12. I'm not saying pass efficiency, but when it comes to yards and touchdowns scored against us in the air, second-best in the conference. Texas is, I think, fifth. If I'm correct, but we're still like 92 in total pass defense in the country. So like, don't read too much into it, but that's a little weird, right? Like, we're the second best pass defense in the country or in the conference.
Yeah. That's weird. Cause when I sit here and think about the games, there's like, it seems like we're always letting up, you know, big passes and stuff on third downs and stuff, especially lately.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is, and I was going to make this point, our defense might not be the best statistically. We are giving up yards and stuff. But they have, like, this ability to make the plays when it counts, I guess.
Look at that Kansas State game. Look at the Texas – or the Iowa State game, you know. Look at
like,
even
the Iowa
Texas
State game was the perfect example because Hakeem Bailey was killing us all day. Like, he was just letting all kinds of big catches.
Yes.
But when it came down to it and, like, the two plays that mattered, he made plays. And kind of just, like, wiped all the negative away. He was like, well, I made these two plays. He's like,
absolutely.
I made the two plays that counted.
And I will say this. It's been a team effort. We have had good playmakers on defense show up when we needed them. It's not every down.
They've shown up at the exact right time.
They've held teams to a lot of field goals. Yes. Holding teams to field goals in the Big 12 is good. Okay? It's good. I mean, you look at the start of that Kansas State game when we just decided to not hold on to the ball whatsoever. And our defense held them to two field goals and like three and outs before our offense decided to score. Right? I mean,
that's
pretty good. You get a touchdown and they get two field goals, you're winning. So I'm not saying trade two touchdown or two field goals for a touchdown, but if you can hold Texas to field goal, because I don't think they're particularly great, they're not a great scoring team. That's just a fact. Then we've got a chance here.
Yeah,
right?
I think that we have a good chance Saturday.
I mean, we're favored. We should be favored.
Right.
We're favored in a lot of numbers. It will be close.
I think it will be another close game.
I mean,
but it's going to be more us. An us thing than it is going to be them. It's going to, if whatever happens, I think it's going to be on us. Like if we lose, it's going to be on us. It's not going to be that they're going to do something better than us. It's going to be that our offense did not do anything in the second half, or, you know, the defense just didn't do anything, which I don't see that happening because Tony Gibson's defense, they come ready to play.
And even the last few weeks, we've done better controlling the run game of our opponent. It's still not great. Don't get me wrong.
Does Texas have a Foreman at running back again? Oh, thank God.
No, they don't. I mean, Texas does have a decent – they do have a decent rushing attack, but they're not as prolific as people think. They're Chris Warren III is, I think, their leading rusher, and he has 314 yards on the season. He has only had one 100-yard game. So it's a little weird because I don't know where their rushing productivity has come from other than their quarterback. Sam Ellinger has rushed the ball very well. But it's not like they have a prolific one guy who I think is going to hurt us in the run game. Statistically, Sam Ellinger is their second best runner, right? So he's had 285.
How is that? How is it possible that their leading rusher has 314 yards? Their leading receiver only has 683.
I don't know.
Texas makes no sense at all.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. They've run 780
and have done nothing with it. We're sitting here with three guys ready to break 1,000.
They have not. Yeah.
A quarterback ready to break 4,000 and a running back ready to break 1,000. Like, and they have people that aren't even close to sniffing those numbers.
No.
What?
Their total yards per game, 409, isn't bad at all. That very much skews in favor of their passing game. They go about 273-4 yards a game. Their rushing is all right. They're averaging 135 yards a game rushing, which, I mean, our team is very good at giving up rush yards. Granted, it's been better the past couple weeks, but we're still averaging around 200 yards rushing a game. But yeah, it's like this is why Texas is so confusing, because it's like, okay, you run a lot of plays, you don't get any points or yards out of it. You've beaten every team. Like, they kind of have a similar season to us, where they've beaten just about every team they should beat, right? The only loss you look at on their schedule is the Maryland loss. You're like, huh? Why? How did you lose to Maryland? Although I loved that, and I still hate Maryland, but I will take a Maryland win over Texas in Austin any day of the week. That's hilarious to me. But they, you know, their losses are to teams that, for the most part, are better than them. USC, probably better than Texas. Oklahoma State, better than Texas. TCU, better than Texas. Oklahoma, better than Texas. We have the same thing. So it's about whose team do you think is better? And I think overall we have a better team.
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely do stuff with with our offense and get points.
Yeah,
that's like all totally new to me. I hadn't looked at those stats. That my mind's in like a pretzel right now. I don't know how that works. Like, you know, the
so
gift
weird,
from
right?
The Hangover, where Alan's just sitting there and like all the numbers are floating around. Like, that's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you wearing
a baby
satchel
on my chest? No.
Well, I mean, this is going to be a close game. I think we can both agree on that, just because neither team – Texas has a good defense who doesn't give up a whole lot of points, but they don't give up some yards, to be honest. We have a defense who kind of plays into what Texas should want to do, and that's run the ball. If they try to throw against us, I think that'll be a problem for them, to be honest. Like, does that make – like, if Texas wants to beat West Virginia, they need to run the ball.
I would agree, yes.
Okay, and if we want to beat Texas, we need to go deep, and we need to do it often. I'm not saying it needs to be every play, but when you get within, you know, if you can get a first down on your opening possession, go deep.
We need to go
deep.
We need to go often, just like we needed to go deep and often against Kansas State, and we didn't do it.
How often do you go deep?
I plead the fifth. Fifth.
You're welcome for that.
But that goes back to play calling. Like, there were times against Kansas State, I don't know why we didn't throw it deep. Kansas State had bad corners,
especially because they have bad secondary,
and we didn't take advantage of it.
We knew this. Every single Kansas State fan I talked to going into that game was like, "Y'all are going to kill us because you can throw the ball deep." I'm like, "Yeah, that's what we should do. What did we not do?"
I mean, and the times we did it, it paid off.
Whatever.
Like, even when it consisted of like Gary Jennings coming in literally out of nowhere and catching a ball instead of Caron White, which
who cares?
That was like crazy. I don't know. Anyways,
I don't know. Let's talk about concerns. So we talked about what we think we should do to win, and that's sort of all deep and often, obviously. My biggest concern though is that Texas has a lot of sacks in the season. They forced a lot of turnovers. They have 25 sacks, 18 forced turnovers. We've been giving up a fair amount of sacks. Now, that is somewhat on Will Grier, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but he does hold the ball a long time, and he does think he can evade pressure easily. I would like to see him be a little, I don't want to say less patient, but just, dude, just throw the ball away on occasion. He hasn't done that a whole lot this year, to be honest. But Texas forcing turnovers is something that's scary, because we have not done a good job of holding the ball on our side very much this season. We have a -2 turnover margin. We've been able to force some turnovers as well, but that's for me the concern, is their defensive line in the sack game, and they're forcing turnovers of us. What's your biggest concern?
I think I've kind of said it a few times. My concern is, are we going to play 3 or 4 whole quarters? Like you said, we just need 3.
Right.
I just want to see a score in 3 quarters.
I don't want to, like, yes. Get 10 points for 3 quarters, get to 30 points, you should win this game.
So,
that's what I think.
Yeah, that's my biggest concern, because I'm legitimately concerned that we're going to not show up in the second half again, and Texas is going to take advantage. And I think they are the team that can take advantage of it. We've seen other teams, you know, the last 2 teams, they haven't been able to take advantage of it. They've come close, but they haven't been able to do it. I think Texas would be the team that could do it.
Right.
So we just have to make sure we, you know, it's all on us. I don't think it's, like I said, it's nothing that Texas is going to do.
Right.
It's going to be it's an us thing.
Right. Even if Texas has a really good offensive day, our offense is still better than their offense. Flat out.
Concern. Hold on. One more concern.
We'll go through the.
I might have mentioned this last week, or I don't remember if it was on the podcast or if I just mentioned it in our Slack chat or whatever. But, and this isn't a shot. This is just maybe an observation. It seems like Will Grier doesn't perform great under bad conditions. Like the Oklahoma State game, it was raining.
Yeah.
That was the game. It was raining. He, you know, threw a bunch of turnovers. Just didn't have a good game. It was kind of crappy last week at Kansas State. He didn't have
it was
weird
weather
at Kansas State. But this Saturday, it's supposed to be raining again. Like 90% chance of rain.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it's nothing, and I'm just kind of like making that up in my head, and that he's fine. But it seems like weather affects.
I mean, he is fine, but yeah, no, I that's been a concern for me too, and that's something.
So that's my other concern.
And kind of what I'm taking into account as well when I make my prediction later is that this is not going to be the prettiest of games. You're going to have to win a little ugly, and that might mean you're going to turn the ball over and defense is going to have to make a stand, or you're going to have to grind it out on the ground. So I agree with that. I think we need to. As much as I want Will Grier to be in the position to throw the ball all over the place, I don't want him to have to win games for us. And that sounds really weird, but because if we're having to rely on quarterback play to win in the Big 12, then we're not playing our game plan well. And that's not a slight on Will Grier, but we need to have a balanced offense. And I don't mean like, oh, we need to rush as many times as we pass. We just need to look like we're capable of doing everything. And if Will Grier is forced to throw the ball all over the place, the turnovers are going to happen. I agree with you. The weather is concerned. Let's look at the Big 12, their schedule. We'll look at the standings and the schedule, and
Sounds
then we'll
good.
Make some picks. Sound good? All right. So Big 12 standings right now, pretty honestly, I think this is about how we kind of maybe felt this was going to go. A few surprises, but for the most part, this makes sense. Oklahoma in first place, 9-1 overall, 6-1. In the conference, they are in the driver's seat to get to Arlington. TCU at 5-2 in the conference, 8-2 overall. Oklahoma State 5-2, 8-2 overall. West Virginia 5-2, 7-3 overall in fourth place. Then you have Texas in fifth place at 4-3 in the conference, 5-5 overall. Iowa State have fallen down to the sixth place. They were at 1 point lead in the conference, and they're in sixth at 4-3 in the conference, 6-4 overall. Then you get to Kansas State, 3-4, 5-5. Texas Tech at 2-5, 5-5 overall. All 5 losses in conference. And then Baylor at 1-6, 1-9. Kansas 0-7, 1-9. Round out the conference. So there's that. Now let's take a look at the Big 12 schedule. I think that we might be the only conference that's legitimately playing all conference games this week. I don't know if the Pac-12 is or not, because I don't care. But I think we're one of the few, like, all of our teams are playing real football teams this week, unlike the SEC. So we got noon, TCU at Texas Tech. TCU is a 7-point favorite, but Kenny Hill is questionable. But, I mean, surely TCU is still better than Texas Tech without Kenny Hill.
You would think so. TCU has another guy out, like, for the rest of the season, right?
Yeah.
Anderson, I think?
I forget who it is exactly, but yeah. They've had – I think it's Anderson. I know they've had some injuries, and this has been the problem for TCU and why they haven't looked as good recently.
So – We do need TCU to lose, and it's at Texas Tech. Kenny Hill being out would go a long way in helping us out, because I don't know who their backup is.
He's questionable, so there's that.
I really want to go with Texas Tech here, but I think that's, like, my hopes.
Okay. yeah. Texas Tech has been crap in the conference this year, so I'm taking TCU. I would take the points even against for TCU. Texas Tech has just been not good in the conference.
That's fair.
2:30 p.m. Eastern, weird start time. Iowa State at Baylor. Now, Iowa State is a 9.5-point favorite at Baylor. Personally, I don't like that point margin for Iowa State to cover. We've said this all year. Baylor still has offensive talent. Like, they're still a decent football team. They just haven't been able to put it all together. Can Iowa State stop the spiral and get a win at Baylor?
I think so. I don't think they're going to cover the 9.5, but I think they win.
Right, like, that's a weirdly, like, for some reason I looked at that and was like, no, I don't think that's what you, no, I don't think they cover. Like, I'm not going to give you a reason other than Baylor has played it close all season.
Yeah, 9.5 seems too much.
That's my reason why I don't. On the road?
I think Iowa State wins by, like, 3.
Okay. All right, 3:30 kick. OU at Kansas. OU is a 37-point favorite. Now, the question here is, Kansas is awful, but can they keep this game respectable?
No, they can't.
Will they score points? Let me rephrase that. Will they score more than 10 points? Or 10 points more, where they get to double digits.
No. not even close, I don't think. Like, they are so bad right now.
All right.
I don't know how they're so bad.
They looked really good against us. And I know our defense was playing like crap, but they looked really good for, like, the first 3 weeks of the season. What the hell, Kansas? How did you go this far? How is David Beatty still legitimately not on the hot seat? I'm sorry. Like, that's a legitimate question. That, to me, that's a legitimate question that need to be asking of him, because it has not gotten better for Kansas. It has not.
He got the dreaded, like, vote of confidence this week too. So Kansas is about to fire another coach.
I mean, I'm not saying it's David Beatty's fault because it's Kansas. So, like, it's no one's fault. Like, Charlie Weiss has put a curse over that school for football, but, like, or maybe it's Rick Mangino. I don't know. Maybe he ate something. But, like, oh man, I would legitimately be scared for my job if I was David Beatty. All right. Last game, Kansas State at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's a 20-point home favorite here. We need Oklahoma State to lose, but I mean, 20 points is a large margin, I think, for this game as well. Will Oklahoma State be able to use the momentum from that Iowa State win to roll through Kansas State, or is this closer than you think?
I think this one's going to be closer than we think. Who's Oklahoma State have after this game?
They have, let's see, I think they play who do they play? Who do they play after this? I'm looking it up right now. After this game, Oklahoma State plays Kansas. So they have to lose this game.
Yeah. Oof. here's
I mean, they're
here's
not
what I think. I think Oklahoma State is going to be riding a high from last week. They're going to be looking, they're going to say, well, we've already pretty much punched a ticket into the championship game in a rematch against Oklahoma. So yes. I think they're going to kind of overlook Kansas State a little. I don't know if they're going to overlook them enough to lose to them. I would love that if Kansas State beat them. But they're going to be looking ahead. But they're going to say, we're basically in the championship game. We got Kansas next week. Yeah. It's a shoo-in. And I don't think it is. But
I think this is a slow start by Oklahoma State. And then in the second half, they're like, no, 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 wait. We're Oklahoma State. We're going to score a lot of points. And it'll be like a 17-point victory.
That's – yeah, I could see Oklahoma State winning by like two touchdowns.
Yeah, two touchdowns to two and a field goal. Something like that. I just feel like 20 is a lot. All right, last pick. West Virginia versus Texas. We've been talking about it all game – or all podcast. We're a 3-point home favorite. The over-under is 53. So that's like 28-25, basically, is what I think that counts to, if my math is correct. This is a tough game for both teams. Both teams need this game to hopefully put a good, nice, sweet taste in the mouths of their fans heading toward the close of the season. What is your prediction for this game?
I think we win. We are the better team. I'm going to say 34-30 or something like that.
Okay. So close, a little more high scoring than they think. I think it'll be 30-28. I think we have to legitimately hold off a comeback from Texas, but I also feel like this is one of those games where if we hit 30, I feel like we're going to win if we hit 30. And it's not one of those statistical things. It's just looking at it. Texas does not do well when the other team gets to 30. That's just kind of my thought process about that.
That's actually probably a really good prediction. I kind of like that. That one would make more sense, I think, because we have had where, you know, the offense fell asleep, and I don't know if we're going to score 34 points.
Yeah.
I think we could, but I don't know if we will. So, yeah, your prediction is probably going to be, like, really close, I think.
I don't know. Their losses have come when a team has scored 51, 27, 29, 13, and 24. So it doesn't take a whole lot of points to beat Texas. Now, granted, they did beat Kansas State 40-34, but that is the weirdest game, and it had, I think, two overtimes, so maybe not the best example. Kansas put 27 up against Texas, too. Let's just not even, let's not forget that. Baylor put 7, but Kansas put 27. So I'm not saying we're going to score a ton of points, but if you can get to 30 points, that should be your goal. That should be enough to beat Texas, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that goes over, too. I think we're both picking the over just because I think we'll go over, but I think it'll just be because we have to. It's not going to be like, oh, well, it's a shootout. It's just someone's going to have to
score. So if you look at the numbers with the over, they're saying it's going to be like 28-25, which.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely, it's going to go over barely.
Yes, barely over. Maybe by a touchdown. Again, someone scores to put it over, but it's not like this is, I mean, granted, we've said the last 2 weeks, I think we've hit the under, but. I feel that our offense will play well for at least three quarters. It might be that we take a third quarter off, but I think we can get a touchdown or something in the fourth quarter this week to win the game. That's what I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to.
I hope anyway. Maybe that's where I'm
like, if we want to take the third quarter off, that's fine. Just score in the fourth.
Right.
But next week you better be ready to play.
Oh, just please score second half points. Do what you did the first half of the last 2 weeks, but
yes,
score in the second half. That's your mission, West Virginia, if you choose to accept it. All right, Mike, any last thoughts before we get out of here?
Yeah, actually, anybody that's listening to this that's going to be tailgating in the blue lot, and you have Snapchat, if you're a Snapchatter and you like being on Snapchat, first of all, follow the Smoking Musket on Snapchat. I think it's just Smoking Musket. I think Nick's going to be running that again, probably.
Yeah, I think it's the same as our Twitter.
If he's at the game, I think he's going to run it. But we are going to have a special geo filter. And I'm not going to tell anybody what it is, so just swipe through, find your geo filter, take pictures with you and your friends, whatever, and share them. Like, share them with us.
Yeah.
Send them to Smoking Musket on Snapchat, or, you know, save them and tag us in it on Facebook or
tag
Twitter
us,
or whatever.
Yeah. Or Instagram or, yeah.
But yeah, look out for that filter. It's going to be a good one, I think.
We like to interact with you all. Remember that. We do like to interact with you all. All right, Mike, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Remember, you can follow the Smoking Musket podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio. Just search for the Smoking Musket podcast. Follow us for all of our football content on blogtalkradio.com/Smoking Musket. Check us out on Twitter at Smoking Musket. Check us out on Snapchat, Smoking Musket, and like the Smoking Musket on Facebook. And obviously go to www.smokingmusket.com for daily news, notes, and opinions on WVU sports. Mike, it's been fun as always. I appreciate it. I'm sorry I haven't been able to get up to a game this year. It's your fault for not going to the game, for not seeing me at the game in Maryland. But, you know, whatever.
I walked right past your tailgate, too.
Good,
I don't know how
you.
I did it. I walked past, like,
fault.
Four times and didn't see
it's
you
fault.
Or Smitty.
yeah, I know. It's all your fault. It's all your fault. Anyway, nice talking with you. Enjoy it. Are you going up to the game?
I'm not sure
right?
yet. If I can get these tickets, I probably will. If not, then I'll be watching from home in my nice, dry living room with some heat and in my recliner where it's comfortable.
Hey, I'll be watching in Athens, Georgia, surrounded by a bunch of Bulldog fans. So, much better. My family has season tickets out there, so they go every weekend for the home games, and I go because it's free beer and food. I'm not stupid, but you know, I told them I would wear red and black on Friday, though. I feel like that's a fair compromise, especially because I'll be wearing white and gold next weekend when Georgia Tech plays Georgia.
That's fair, I guess.
I try to be fair. All right, Vigotter, thanks for listening. Thanks for playing along. I will talk to you on Monday on our Facebook Live review. And you can check us out, as we said, every week. Usually comes out on Friday, the Smoking Musket podcast. So thanks to Sassboy Andy. Thank you again, Mike, for joining me. I'm Bart Keeler for the Smoking Musket. And as always, goodbye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.